Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Monday, the 19th of October. It's a Mindset Monday time. We'll talk about my mindset at the end of this. So last week I mentioned, let's get straight into it. Last week I talked about getting sort of identifying your traits and your personality traits and how they affect you or could possibly affect you with your gambling, because you do tend to find proven fact that, you know, if you're a certain way in life, and we're all certain characters, all different, you're not just that character for that one activity that you're doing. I'll give you an example. My brother, I'm going to use a lot of golf analogies in these next few weeks, purely because it was a game that I pretty much applied the same process to golf as I do now gambling. And I mean, some of you have played with me. I was a scratch golfer for many, many years, started at the age of 12. My brother also plays golf. We are completely different. My brother is a ridiculously bad loser. He's a smash the Monopoly board guy up. I don't know whether I told this story. When we were kids, he's 3 years older than me, we had a 6x3 snooker table. Like all kids, you play Wimbledon when you play, when the tennis is on, you're out playing tennis when Wimbledon's on. When the World Championship snooker was on, we were playing snooker. And I've always been, what do you call it, fairly naturally talented at ball sports, I suppose. So we were playing it was best of 35 frames, the final. So we were playing best of 35 indoors. And I was winning something like 15-16-4, closing in on winning. I was much better than him at it. And he picked a snooker ball up and threw it at my head, literally from 4 or 5 feet away. And he threw it so hard, I just got my head out the way. It hit the wall and smashed in half. I mean, it would have killed me. And he has carried that. He's, as I say, I'm coming up 50, so he's now 52. He has carried that right through, and he's exactly the same. So if he plays golf, he's throwing clubs around. His nature. So if you gave him something like trading to do, he just cannot handle losing. He cannot handle it. And you'd have to really sit him down and go through a process to get him to be able to do what I do, because we are complete. I mean, we are so, it's unbelievable that we come from the same parents, because he is completely different to me in so many ways. But that's a truth. So identifying those traits in you for me is a big starting point. Because most people who take up gambling, if we draw a circle on a bit of paper, and you can do this, and you wrote at the top for things that you've done, the method and why you started that method, most people, and I know most people will start, but I don't know, whatever it may be, you know, horse racing system one, why did you start it? Because I got an email from somebody. So I just got an email, thought it sounded good. So didn't really do any due diligence, no preparation of whether you were cut out for it. You just started it. That's it. So that would go at the top. You then draw a curve going down, as if you imagine a clock face going down to number 3. And write, how did that end up? Almost certainly, I could guarantee that most people would be writing a loss down. It ended up loss. And be honest with yourself. Write down how much it cost you. How much did it lose? What was it? What point bank did you start with, and what point bank did you give up? There. Continue the circle round to 6 o'clock, and we get to how do you feel? And you get that feeling of frustration, I would imagine, the frustration at not being able to win. Continue it round again to 9 o'clock, and you get that frustration turns into disappointment, anger, and doubt. And then you can complete it back to 12 o'clock, and you're back to where you've put your horse system one. And then you could probably have gone again, and that circle keeps going. So horse system one would become horse system two. Started it because I had another email. How did it end up? Loss. How much did you lose? How did you feel? Disappointment. frustration, etc. How did that, frustrated that I can never win, back it goes, disappointment, anger, doubt, back. But you just keep going, and you keep going around this circle. And some of you have been around this circle, because I've been doing this 13 years, and I've known some of you 13 years. Some of you have been going around this circle like a hamster wheel for 13, 14, 15 years across numerous things. And I can sit here and say, you've got to keep going. You've got to put a bank. It's not over till the bank's gone. I can say all that. If you're not that character, then that doesn't work. Because, you know, as I've said last week, 2 weeks in, people are already having doubts if they've had a bad start in something. And it isn't just Ian says keep going. It's a matter of building your whole character to understand it. And I talked last week of that conveyor belt of losses, you know, that you get on that conveyor belt of losses. And that affects everything you do. And then we need to try and change your actual thought processes. The way we do this is to actually get you to change and understand that it is a learning process and a change. I keep saying the words for me, things like, I'm immune to it. I am immune to it because I've done it so long, so I don't let it faze me. You know, I've got some bets I do with guys. They'll be listening to this. They're in a WhatsApp group. Good goal here, reports. Good goal here. That there, this, that, every single game. I don't even know what games we're involved in. They're checking every single result all the time. It would drive me bananas. Part of them, I think, enjoys it, enjoys the action of being involved. For me, I just see it as a process. It's just a process. That's the bets, boys. Put them on. And all I do is do spreadsheet. They put them on. They manage them. Half the time, I'm copying and pasting from sheets. I'm not actually reading half of what it is and what game it is or what time it kicks off. I know long term they win. You know, they're going to do them. But it's just quite incredible how I find it almost staggering how involved in it. They just want to watch every game and see every bet and see all the goals. I question whether it's good for you. That's the thing I question. And I think the guys who've done automation, Betty Blogger, Lord Dio, those sort of guys who try and automate everything, one, it frees up time. They've got, you know, they both those two, I quote, they've got young kids. And I think that, you know, one of my biggest regrets is I spent too much time at a computer when my kids were growing up. But two, it's that emotion out of it. You don't need to keep checking. I've now got stuff botted. I don't even look at it. I check to check it's working and check that the bots are on and that the games have gone in. But I don't sit there watching every result, click through the bot going, oh shit, loser, oh shit, winner, oh shit. So I think the start point is to let's get these circles drawn now. So for every service that you can remember you've been in, write a circle down and see where you've been, went differently. And as I said, I'm going to make some golf analogies. If I liken it to golf, I've got a friend of mine. I actually spoke to him on the phone last week before this podcast. And I said, I might talk about you. I'm not going to give you a name, but I know he does listen sometimes. I didn't want him to think I was talking about him without his permission. He was, when I knew him or first sort of met him probably 20 years ago, he was a 6 handicap golfer. He's now off 14. He changed golf clubs about 4 years ago. The golf club he went to had fantastic practice facilities. And in those 4 years, he has hit over 15,000 golf balls. And he has gone up from 6 handicap to 14 handicap, and he can't understand why. Because he feels, I'm practicing, so why aren't I getting better? I'm actually practicing and getting worse, and he just keeps doing the same thing. And I talk to him, not often, we meet up probably 2-3 times a year, there's a few of us who go out for a beer. Absolutely loves talking about golf, he'd bore you to death about it, he loves talking about it. I'm just going up, I'm getting worse, I can't understand why I'm getting worse, I'm changing my swing, I'm making a new swing, and it's just getting worse. He's not actually making a new swing. He is like most golfers who you see if you go to a driving range, and I appreciate there'll be people listening who don't go play golf. If I go to the driving range, I will start off, I'll take a sand iron or a wedge out, and I'll flick 10, 15 balls to loosen myself up. Then I'd go to a 9 iron, go to an 8 iron. You go to any driving range in the country and walk along, and you'll see people with a driver – Biggest head, longest shaft, just whacking away like lunatics, trying to hit it as hard and as far as they can. Golf is about fundamentals. There's five basic fundamentals: aim, grip, ball position, posture, and alignment. Without those five fundamentals, worked on, drilled in, repeated for every single shot, you are never ever going to hit good golf shots. And it's exactly the same for me in trading. On the surface, trading looks, it looks like a simple thing. I post green screens. Dio talks about winning. Betty Blogger may talk about winning. Psychoff may post a massive great screen. Bat Angel may come on and say, look at me, I've had a great day in Australia. Whatever it may be. And it's assumed from that by the people watching that it's simple. When actually, it is possibly, probably up there with trying to play golf to a decent level continually. It's probably as hard a thing as I've ever done in my life. And I think for a lot of you, you see that success that others have, me, other people. I think you think it is within your grasp, but you don't put any work in to make it a reality. Or you don't put the right work in, like my mate doesn't practice the right way. You don't put the right work and effort in to get success. And I'll give you an example, and this has actually annoyed me. I spent a lot of time in the summer doing Zooms with people, a lot of time, you know, hours. And I did hours of preparation for it, did many, many Zoom sessions with different groups of people, all within FTS. Some paid for, a lot of it I did for free. I just said, right, this is what I'm going to do, help these people, because I wanted to learn the sort of basics of Zoom and teaching better and this, that and the other. So I spent a lot of time there, and I said the same thing to every single group of people, and that is, learn one market and learn to beat one market, because if you can't do that, what honestly makes you think, well, I'll ditch that one, I'll go and beat that one, and I'll ditch that one, and I'll go and beat that one. And I can categorically say, and some of them will come back to me, I'm sure, and say I'm wrong, because I haven't spoken to everybody, but I don't think anybody who's been through that process is now focusing on just one market. I think they're still all trying to do loads of different things. And some of them say to me, well, you have loads of sheets for everything. And I said to them at the start of those, and I say it to you guys now, particularly who are new, forget me in 2020, be me in 2007. Be me when I made the decision to give up my job and do this full time. Be that person who's got a load to learn, rather than being the guy who is now 2020. It's only a year ago, pretty much now, that I lost 20 grand in a week. Now, I could swallow that. Financially, I can swallow it. It's the mental process of swallowing it. If that had happened to me in 2007, I'd have been a completely different individual. I'd have been an absolute quivering wreck. But now, over 10, 12, 13, 14 years of doing this full time, you start to accept that. So, you know, it is that feeling that it is elusive and everybody can do it, but you've got to understand there's got to be a process put in place to do it. And I think this is the sort of start of that. Identifying who you were last week. Now let's have a look at actually what you've actually done and be really honest with yourself. You know, I said last week about taking responsibility. Be really honest with yourself. Get an A4 piece of paper for everything you've joined. Write down at the top why you joined it. Arrow down to how it went. Include your losses. Be as honest with yourself. You're the only one who's going to see it. I don't want to see him. As honest as you are. Arrow down to 6 o'clock. How did that make you feel? Arrow down to up to 9 o'clock. What thought processes did that lead to? And I'm certain it will be things like disappointment, anger, doubts. And then back up to the top and do it right. Number two, and you'll just keep this, you could keep this circle going. Some of you'll be able to keep it, you wouldn't have a bit of paper big enough, because you can just keep going round and round outside it, and you'd end up with 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14 different services, pretty much all, I imagine, ending out the same way, that you gave up, they lost, But the feelings that they gave you will pretty much probably almost be the same. Why me? What are this, that and the other? And it's changing that. We need to change that process over time. And that's sort of, once you, you know, it's like anything. I've said it before, you know, the alcoholic doesn't get cured unless he admits that he's an alcoholic. That we can actually do these things and get them going. It's not unbeatable. It is a matter of doing it, and I think we've got to get away from this fact that it's a simple process, and start to form your journey of how you're actually going to go about it. Get fundamentals in place, and next week we're going to move on to things like the fundamentals of what I believe the fundamentals of people are doing. And I'm not talking about being able to do Excel. I'm talking about the mental and preparedness for things, to enable you to go into this and say, right, that's my bank, that's where I'm at. Yes, it may go up and down, but this is where I'm heading to. And we're thinking three, you know, I would say to people, think 3 to 5 years ahead. I'm not interested in any one day's results, any one match results. I'm interested in where is that going to be in 5 years' time. That's where I want that to be at. What processes am I going to put in place for it to get there? And then it's, you know, you can settle the money up. We can say that I'm going to have $2,000, I'm going to do it like that, I'm going to do that. All that can be set up. That's not mindset. That's just doing things. That's just physical things. I've got $2,000 there, I've put it there. It's then your mindset, how you're going to execute yourself across that journey, across that 5 years to get to where you want to go. What are you going to do in the face of adversity? What are you, you know, the whole thing. And I hope, you know, I'm sure that we can help you get there. You know, it is a psychological war at times, and there's things that you've just got to get set up in these fundamentals that will take you. I'm certain, you know, not everybody's going to go on this journey and win. I know that because people are different, but it will take you to a phase that where you get to. I say to people, it's very difficult at times. I mean, Dave. Who's trying to sort of help me streamline my processes, and Chrissy and Dave sort of, I'll use him, I think he thinks that I could create more time, but I can't create more time because it's very difficult to explain to somebody what I do. It is really difficult, you know, and it's probably somewhere I've slipped up with FTS, is making people believe, well, just do what I do. I sort of had that utopian dream, just do what I do, and I'm sure Peter Webb would like to be able to say just do what I do, but it isn't, it, you know, life is never that simple. It isn't as simple as that. So I do think that I can walk you through this journey better. I've had a lot of thought about how I'm going to conduct this over the next few weeks and the things I want to talk about. But obviously the first bit, as I say, is about last week, is identifying yourself. How does that figure in your trading? And if there'll be weak points, you know, if you're a bad loser, that's something that we need to tackle, or you need to tackle. I can try and help you, but you need to tackle, because if you don't like losing at Monopoly and you don't like losing at football, how are you going to feel when you're losing 100 quid trading? And how do you react to that? It's all about those sort of issues. I hope, you know, I don't script this again, so I hope I'm not waffling and repeating myself, but you know, get those circles going now of why you started something, what would the end result was, and, you know, be financial, if you will. And if you do it in a circle, you know, I like visualization. You know, those of you who've been with me, I like graphs and visualization there. What were your feelings? And I'm sure that things like frustration and that will be in there, particularly if you see others winning. What did they then escalate into? Was it anger? Was it disappointment? Was it sadness? Was it worry? Was it doubts? What did they? And then back to the top, you started again. Why did you do something else there? And you'll find that it is a hamster wheel. Most of you are just on this hamster wheel that go round and round and round. And you know, I love the fact that people contact me after whatever we've done now, you know, 18, 19 months of the bet slip, and say, it's changed the way I bet. That's what I like. That's what it is. That's what I like. I'm not interested really in winning or losing at the minute for a lot of people. Is it changing what you're doing? And I've got people who, online trader, doesn't have any mug bits now. I've got hundreds of emails, genuinely, where people have written to me and said, I used to be a mug punter. You've made me think about it now. That is why I do this. You know, you put up with all my other nonsense, and I admit it is nonsense. That's for my own self-entertainment. And I know people think a lot of it, I talk shit. There's some of it's tongue-in-cheek, some of it is probably meant, some of it is for comedy effect, whatever it may be. But the underlying of all of it is just to get people to try and think differently. So, as I say, we'll focus on these Mondays. So that's your next phase. Don't want them to become lectures. I've done 20 minutes. We'll be back into it next week. We'll start talking about these fundamentals and sort of applying them to the two things you've done before. Your traits and weaknesses, why you've done something. Right, now let's get some fundamentals in place to, in effect, get you off that track and onto a new one. Right, I got no horses today. There aren't any. Football, I have got one, I think. Let me just open my sheet. You see how I enjoyed that bit. Now my voice has turned to one of abject disappointment. What the fuck was all that about? I know you're all waiting for me to explode. I know. I actually did feel like I had a stroke. I sat quivering in the corner. It was fucking horrific, wasn't it? I blame one man. I'll get to it in a minute. I'm just opening. Luckily, I'm focusing on opening this sheet. Okay, so it is. Bear with me, my little fruitcakes. 7:30 kickoff tonight. St. Pauli versus Nuremberg. A late first half goal, 30 minutes onwards this one. St. Pauli, Nuremberg, 30 minutes if it is 0-0, then drip late, a first half goal, St. Pauli versus Nuremberg. Yes, what the fuck do you say? It's difficult to say anything, isn't it? You are 3-0 up and there's 8 fucking minutes left. 8 fucking minutes. I mean, Dio said yesterday, West Brom got it in the neck. That was the 54th. They had 36 minutes. And I said, how can 11 able-bodied people let in 3 goals? It's professional football. It's not fucking me against them. I mean, I actually think if me, Suggsy and Lord Dio went out there, we could have stopped 3 goals. But fucking Harry Winks. Oh, don't people talk about Bale. Bale's not played much football. He's come on, had a chance to win it, didn't. Kane's hit the post. But Winks comes on 3-0 up. He's shit. He's just desperately shit. Winks is that's the problem. We went from having 2 cabbages in Sanchez and Aurier to 3, nearly a quarter of our team. You might be able to carry one of them. You might be able to carry 2. We can't carry 3. Yeah, you're a bit unlucky. The guy's an absolute worldie. But we were just fucking dreadful. Get out and kill them. You know, I say on the golf course, if you get 4 up, get 5 up, get 6 up. It's the same in football. If you get 3-0 up, go and get 4, go and get 5. We sat back a bit. They got a bit of confidence once they got 1. And again, Lord Dio was right. He put a Bristol City Swindon. I don't want to keep praising him today, but Bristol City Sunderland result. I knew at 3-2 what was going to happen. It was just inevitable. What was Sanchez doing with that header? Winks, what is he doing with the ball he plays to Lanzini? He just basically says, here you go, have a shot, son. It's absolute fucking garbage. No team in the last 20 years, you know, very rarely has a team bettered Tottenham, as in given them a pasting. We beat ourselves every single fucking time. It's just, you know, Newcastle, put them to fucking bed. No, and then they get a penalty. You know, United, I thought, oh, they've put the foot on the gas. They've got 3-1. They've gone and got 4-5-6. But yesterday, oh, I did. I wanted my mum. I sat in the corner rocking. I just thought, I want my mum. I've got nobody I can talk to about this at all. I mean, even Sam. Sam has got a sister who lives in the East End. Even she fucking phoned up. Haven't phoned us for about 4 years. Even she fucking phoned up. How's Ian? fucking desperado. Absolute. It's not anger, it's exasperation. You can't get... I've just talked about all those feelings of anger, disappointment. I went through the full... It was like grieving. It was like going through a stage of grief. Oh, my God, if I see Winks in a Tottenham shirt, it just fucking destroys me. I shouldn't watch. It's one of them, it's like betting. If I'd seen old Spurs finish 3-3, I'd have thought, oh, that was a good game. Don't look at the goal times. I don't know what happens. And then those fucking, they're all stripping their shirts off, running around the pubs. Oh, fuck off. Honestly. Fucking pikeys. Oh, God. Ah! Yeah, so Spurs 3, West Ham 3. There you go. That's what it was. I don't know who's going to win the title now. I think you've got to say City. Probably going to pull away, aren't they, over time? Liverpool, certainly to me. I watched a bit of that game. Didn't look as good as... they were. I can't believe one man cost you. If you're relying on one man to win the title, then you're not good enough anyway. You drifted hugely since notice of that, which I just find staggering. If that's what you are, a one man team, City, you have it all over the park. Tottenham are fragile mentally. Arsenal ain't good enough. United ain't good enough. Everton ain't good enough. Chelsea ain't good enough. So there you go, City for the title. I don't know what price they are, but difficult to see past them. I think week in, week out, they will beat teams and the others have all got bits for them. I did, just for that fragment of time again, let myself believe that a Mourinho Tottenham with the summer transfer window may just be something that produced finally some good stuff. But if you're giving up results like that, fucking grown men, 11 able-bodied grown men, 3-0 up with 8 minutes to go, can't see that out, fuck off. Just fuck right off. Right, recipes and books tomorrow. Have a lovely Monday. I hope some of you enjoyed this. I've depressed myself thinking about it. I've managed to keep busy. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.